On the second Sunday of Easter, we have very powerful readings. Our first and our second reading switch every year on the second Sunday of Easter, depending on which year it is. And this is year C in our cycle of readings. But every year on the second Sunday of Easter, we hear this particular gospel, the Gospel of Doubting Thomas. And it's interesting to see the connections between the readings that the church selects for us. This Easter season, during this year C cycle of readings, our second reading is going to be from the book of Revelation. And today's reading from the book of Revelation is from the beginning of that book, and it gives us a little introduction to the rest of the book. So today we have John, who has this vision, or we could say Jesus appears to John. And Jesus appears in glory and majesty, such that Jesus's response, or John's response to Jesus, is that he faints. It's such a powerful presence in front of him. But Jesus touches John and revives him and says to him, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and of the netherworld. Once I was dead, but now I live forever and ever." So this is really the church's Easter message. The message of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was dead. His body was in the tomb. But now Jesus is alive, and he lives forever and ever. What does it mean when we say that Jesus is alive? It's important for us to think about this. Sometimes we can get a help in answering this question by saying what we don't mean. It doesn't mean, when we say that Jesus is alive, that Jesus' soul is now with God in heaven. It's not what we mean. And the Gospels make this very clear. For instance, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus appears, like he does in today's Gospel, Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room, and they're terrified, rightfully. And the Gospel tells us that they think that they're seeing a ghost. What is a ghost? Well, it's a soul or a spirit without a body. So the disciples are fearful. They think they're seeing a ghost. So what does Jesus do? He tells them that he's hungry. And he asks if they have anything to eat. And so they give him a piece of fish. And then Jesus eats the piece of fish in front of them. Not many ghosts can do that. Why was Jesus doing that? Well, because he was trying to prove to them that he's not just a soul, but he's embodied. That it's really him, soul and body. And as soon as the disciples realize that it's not just a ghost of Jesus, but it's actually him, body and soul, then they rejoice. It's really good for us to see this, because this is what's going to happen to us too. Someday we're going to be able to say, "I once was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever." And what does it mean when we will be able to say, "I'm alive forever and ever"? It's not just that our soul will go to heaven. That will happen for a little while. Our body will go into the ground. Our soul will go to be with God. But that's not the end of the story. Because what we profess in the creed every Sunday is that at the last judgment, our bodies will rise. They'll rise up from the tomb, and our body and our soul will be reunited. And then we'll really live forever, body and soul. So this is important for us for many reasons. It's also important for us to remember that it's not the body that will rise on the last day, my body that will rise on the last day, your body that will rise on the last day, is not just this dang body that gives me so many problems here on earth, that weighs more than we want it to, or that has aches and pains, or that keeps getting gray hair, but rather our bodies will be glorified bodies. So exactly what that's going to be like, of course, we don't have an insight into that except what we see in the gospel. Jesus's glorified body, for instance, was able to walk right through the locked door of the upper room. Jesus's glorified body was not always immediately recognizable to his disciples. How many times did Jesus come and stand right by his disciples? They saw him, but they didn't recognize him as Jesus. But then as soon as he says their name, then they know it's him. So this is something very mysterious, but we know that our bodies are going to be our bodies, but yet changed. Without aches and pains, thankfully, our bodies will be youthful, glorified. Not just these dang old bodies that give us so much trouble, but they're going to be us, but us as we want to be in heaven. And that's why we're going to be able to say, in heaven, we'll be truly alive, more alive than we were on earth, because on earth, we're always suffering from something. But in heaven, it's not going to be like that. Why? Because Jesus says that he's alive forever and ever, and he holds the keys to death and the netherworld. What does it mean when we have the keys to something? Well, it means that we have ownership over that. So in my pocket, I have my keys to my car. I'm its owner. I'm its steward. You might have keys to your house in your pocket right now. You are its owner, its steward. That's what Jesus means when he says he holds now the keys to death, that now he's in control of it. He owns it. And no more is it going to trouble us. No more is it going to lead to the destruction of our body, gradually or quickly, but rather because Jesus is in control, we will be fully alive and never die again in heaven with our glorified body. This is also why the church, for all of her existence, we see this especially in the New Testament, places such an emphasis on what we do in the body. So how we treat our body is so important. This is why it's a sin for people to harm their body in different ways. Or why it's a sin for us to be neglectful of our bodies, or to overeat, or to get drunk, or to do drugs. It's not just because the church doesn't want us to have any fun. Actually, the church wants us to have fun, but not at the expense of our body. Why? Because St. Paul says our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body's precious, and we don't just shed our body when we die, finally getting rid of that old thing that caused us so many problems, but our soul leaves our body, but only temporarily, and we'll receive our bodies back someday. This is also why burial is so important and has always been so important in the church, because our body, again, is not something that we can merely throw away as if it's a burden to us. But we look at our body as God's gift to us, that even though it's a cause of suffering for us in this life, it's not always going to be that, because on the last day it will be raised. And so to be buried, it's always something that the church has emphasized. It's become more and more popular for people to have their body cremated at death. And that the church allows cremation. But what the church says is that we can't, the reason that we're being cremated is very important. We shouldn't be cremated because we hate our body. We want to get rid of our body once for all. Or our body gave us so much trouble in this life, we just want it to be destroyed. That would be a bad reason to be cremated. Why? Because, again, our body is a gift that God gives us. And even though, yes, because of sin, our body is a source of suffering through this life, it's not always going to be like that. So there might be other reasons why someone wants to be cremated, and the church says there are legitimate reasons for being that, but it can't, the reason shouldn't be because of some kind of hatred for the body or wanting for our body to be destroyed. So this is good news for us. I think it's also good news for us when we think about how much the bodies of our loved ones mean to us. Sometimes people who have lost their husband or wife talk about how much they miss the physical presence of their loved one. That even if half the time they never said anything to their spouse, there was something so comforting in being together, in the physical presence. So in heaven, we'll experience this again. We aren't just going to be souls floating around, but we'll be embodied. We'll be able to love each other once again in the body. Of course, this is a great mystery. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we do know that the physical presence of the body of our deceased parents, of our deceased spouse, of our deceased children, of our deceased brothers and sisters will be there with us. And how wonderful that will be to be able to be together. Jesus' disciples weren't interested in Jesus if he was only a ghost appearing to them, only a spirit, only a soul. But as soon as they touched the wounds in his hands and in his side, as soon as they saw that it was really him, body and soul, they rejoiced because then he was really with them. And that's what heaven's going to be like for us, to be really with Jesus, Mary, and our loved ones. So today, we can give thanks to God for the amazing gift of the resurrection that surpasses so much of what we even think we can hope for, that we can hope that one day we'll have a youthful body again that doesn't give us any problems, and that we'll be able to love and experience, embrace, cherish the youthful bodies of our loved ones again in heaven. That's what we have to look forward to. Let's ask the Lord today to, as we approach his body in this Eucharist, his risen body, that he would increase our faith in the resurrection of the body, so that we all may meet him and one another one day in the body forever, that we may say, I was dead, but now I'm alive forever and ever.